I appreciate the Lord for another opportunity to be back at your way of listening. I'm thankful that His mercy renews every morning. His compassions never fail. That's a comfort to my heart. I'm thankful I can wake up every day to have a best friend always there that I can talk to. I'm not talking about physically, out loud. I'm talking about in my heart, in my spirit, my soul. My soul is eternal and so is yours. But the difference between me and a sinner, me and an unsaved person, I'm still in this flesh. I'm still, you know, in this sinful flesh. But the difference between me and them is I have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside. And I pray to God everybody would know this, and everybody would have this Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside, that gift, the ticket to heaven. There is a difference, and there is two places, because this soul is eternal. You'll go to hell or you'll go to heaven. And this here on earth is the deciding place, the deciding time where you get, you know, saved or you miss out. There's only two routes that you take. And once you're there forever. If you're in heaven, you're there forever, enjoying the splendor and all that God has for us. If you go to hell, it'll be weeping, gnashing of teeth, a fire that will never go out. As it was created for the devil and all his angels. But see, if we go there, it's because the sin of unbelief, not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, being sorry that you sinned against Him. Even Jesus Himself said, repent, or you will all likewise perish. That was very plain and very simple the way God put that. You know, in the New Testament, you can go read that for yourself. He even summed it up. He even added there too and said, do you suppose that, you know, the Galileans that were there in that scripture, he said, do you suppose that they're sinners more than the other ones, the other Galileans, because they suffered such? Or the Tower of Siloam fell upon these people. He said, do you suppose that they were sinners above the others because that tower fell on them? He said, no, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. See, we've all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Jesus is the only one that could have died for us, and so we might have that gift and have it more abundantly, that precious gift of eternal life. He's the one that died for us. He's the only one that could have, and that's why He had to leave the splendor of heaven. He looked down and saw our need. He didn't see how good we were doing. He didn't see all our righteous acts and things that we've done. He saw our need. He saw how wretched and vile we were. He saw our choice, the one that Adam and Eve made at the beginning of time, the first two humans that He created. He created Adam, and then He took a rib out of Adam to create Eve because He saw that it was good for him to have a helpmate, you see. God created male and female. He didn't create male and male to be together. He created male and female. Homosexuality is another sin, you see. Sodom and Gomorrah, read about that in the book of Genesis, how God destroyed that whole city because of their wickedness, and that whole wickedness was homosexuality. You see, those two angels that left Abraham that day, they went down to Sodom to see, to search out the city, that if there be any righteous there. And of course, there was Lot. He was righteous. You see, he was related to Abraham, and he went down there because he let his eye affect his heart as far as this flesh is concerned. But those two angels went down to that city, and they told Lot. They said, get out of there. It's time to leave. You know, fire is going to come down from heaven and burn down this city because of the wickedness that's come up before God. He's seen it. He knows about it. You see, there's nothing in the darkness that shall not be brought to light. Don't kid yourself. We're all sinners. We've all come short. You see, but those two angels went down to that city, and they warned Lot and his wife and his two daughters. And you see, Lot tried to go tell his two stepsons, you see, the husbands of his two daughters, and they looked at him as if he one that mocked. They didn't believe him because he wasn't living right. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. You see, that's why it's very important as Christians to do exactly what we're supposed to do. None of us are perfect. We make mistakes. We come up short every day. We're wretched. We're vile. We're still in this rotten flesh. But see, if we put in God first, we're praying and we're studying. We're seeking Him early, first and foremost above all things. God will bless us and use us more than we understand. Just a simple wave, a simple smile, a how you doing? Good to see you. I hope you have a good rest of your day. How are you? Tell me about your day. What's going on? A prayer, anything. All that is just worth more than you'll ever understand. People are down and out. There's violence upon all the face of this earth. It's not that hard to be a bright and shining light to one soul every day. It's not that hard. You see, this world is so dark. The devil's got people blinded by the tool of religion. This money, fame, fortune, sex, nudeness, alcohol, drugs. The devil's got his back pocket full of lies. in his back pocket full of devices. He tried me for many years. He had me bound up for 7 long years from the age of 13 to the age of 20 years old. When I got saved, the devil had my mind. He had my life. He had my body. He had everything about me. And I'm just thankful the prayers of the saints caught up with me. They came up before a memorial before God. Just like Cornelius prayed that day at the 9th hour. He prayed and God spoke to him. He said, call for Paul, one of the house of Simon of the Syrian, that Simon the Tanner, you see, he called for him. He said, and he must abide at your house. He must come speak to you and talk to you about Jesus. I don't know if it was Peter or Paul, but I got to go back and read about that, you see. But he called for him because God heard his prayer. He was a faithful man. He was one that always prayed. I want to be faithful in my prayers and my study. I want to be faithful in what God has for me, preaching his word. This is not something I woke up one day and said, hey, I'm going to start preaching. I'm going to become a preacher. No, I got saved first. I called upon God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I got saved. He got alive in me. He gave me that peace and joy on the inside that I've been looking for all my life. I was searching and seeking and following after the devil and all that he wanted for me. But I'm so thankful those prayers came up before him and the God dealt with my heart again. At the age of 20, the word of God came again the second time. And that's when I got determined enough. God spoke to me. He said, this is your last time. I'm not going to speak to you again. You see, if you don't listen to me this time, if you don't call upon me, if you don't get saved now, you'll never get saved. You'll never have that another opportunity to get saved, you see. Today may be your last opportunity to be saved. That might be your last chance to call out upon God with a broken heart. You see, that's all God wants from you. He don't want your fame. He don't want your money. He don't want your social status. How big is your social media? God don't care about any of that. All he wants is your broken heart and that contrite spirit. I know you've been looking for something to satisfy you on the inside. You cannot be happy in this world. You can't be satisfied without Jesus, you see. I've already tried that. I've been on both sides. I'm on the winning side now. We're still housed in this rotten flesh. I'm still tempted every day, but see, I'm on the winning side. I got the overcomer on the inside. I got that Holy Spirit dwelling upon inside my heart, inside my soul, that speaks to me, that comforts me every day, that encourages my heart. Anytime I'm down, anytime that I'm out, anytime the devil's warring on my mind, and boy, does he war on my mind. He's always trying to take me down. He tries to take me to an early grave. He puts the worst thoughts in my mind. He tries to just work on me so bad and so hard. It's when I'm tired. It's when I'm a little bit, you know, on the other side, so to speak, as far as being upset about certain things of life, maybe at work or something that's overwhelming stress, and that's when he comes in like a flood. But I'm thankful the Lord comes in like a standard. He lifts up like a standard. He helps me. He rebukes the devil. When I trust in him and have faith in him, he blesses me more than I can understand, and I can never repay him for all that he's done, all that he's done for me, for saving my soul, for giving me the free gift of eternal life, for peace and joy that he gives me. It's so wonderful. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when I got determined enough that day. It was October 16, 2016. I remember just like it was yesterday. I remember being in church. The word of God was going forth. I was already convicted inside my heart. God was already doing the work on the other side. Not even in church. He was working on me at school. He was working on me at work. He was working on me on the road. Anywhere I was, he was speaking to my heart saying, it's time to get saved. The devil's coming after you. He's got you bound up. He's going to try to take you to hell. But the prayers of the saints came up before me, and I heard their prayers, and he spoke to me just like that, and that's what touched my heart. I knew I needed something from the inside. I needed something that the preacher had. I needed something those Christians and believers had in the church. They were so happy all the time. They were so content. They were so satisfied on the inside, and I knew that that's exactly what I needed. And I got determined enough that day on that October 16th, and I was crying out to him. I was determined. I was on the knees of my heart. The altar call was called. And I couldn't even get out of my seat. I stayed in my seat and I bowed down, and my overwhelming heart was crying, and I said, Lord, please have mercy upon me. I need your peace. I need your joy. I need this, my sin to be forgiven. I'm trying to repent the best that I know how. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say, Lord, but please help me here. I just pray that for the Holy Spirit to dwell in me. I need something from you, dear Father. I need the Holy Spirit. I don't know what to say or do, but I know you can save souls. I know you can help me and deliver me from the power of the devil. all that he has. Just a little word, one word spoken by you, you can rebuke the devil. You can save my soul. And that's exactly what he did for me. But I got so determined. I didn't want to pass away this opportunity of being saved. So I got in my pickup truck after church was over, and I started praying audibly. I started crying out with all that I had. I was not giving this opportunity away, because I knew it was my last chance. Like I said, like the Lord spoke to me, it was my last and final chance. But when I got home, I got by my bedside and I cried again. I started praying, but that's exactly when the tears stopped flowing. That's when I felt like something happened. Everything just came to a halt. I just had a peace in me. I had a joy in me that I never felt before. But that's as soon as that happened, the devil came to me. He said, "You didn't get saved. That was just a lie. You just didn't feel like nothing. Look at you. You can't even cry no more. See, you prayed and you prayed and nothing happened to you. You don't even feel nothing." That's exactly what the devil was telling me. Just like before, I considered it. I was kind of listening to it. But after those 2 weeks, I was looking for my assurance. I was still seeking God. I was still praying that God would save me. I was still trying to get my heart right and try to understand what just happened. But the Lord continued to speak to me. He convicted me about my sins and different things that I was still doing, my cursing. And when I said that one curse word during that 2 weeks, I remember saying one word, one bad word, and it convicted my heart. It overwhelmed me. And I looked over to my friend because he was beside me, and I said, "I apologize for saying that word." He looked at me like I had fleas. He looked at me like he just saw a ghost. He didn't understand what was going on. He didn't really understand why I apologized, because that was my vocabulary. Every other word that I said was a curse word. Just like a old saying goes, I curse like a sailor. But I apologized for that. I knew something was different about me, because God was convicting me. He was speaking to me. He was encouraging me. But after that 2 weeks, my dad walked up to me at a little gathering. He said, "Is there anything you want to talk about?" Because I was kind of standoffish. I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't really know what to say or what to do, because I was feeling something different on the inside. I was a changed man, little did I know. But when he asked me that question, I felt the Holy Spirit from the above in heavens come down and fill my soul. It was like a whirlwind from heaven overwhelmed me, and it was the greatest feeling that I've ever had in my life. And ever since then, I went up to my papa's house. He was right up the road, right up the driveway. I walked up, I ran up to his house, and I said, "I believe I got saved." And he looked at me, he teared up and said, "I believe you did, son. Get to praying, get to studying, get to seeking God's face early, first and foremost, above all things, and he'll add everything you need in your life." And that's exactly what I did, and that's exactly what I've been doing ever since. I try to pray every day, every morning, every night, whatever God gives me, study his precious word, try to seek his face, be in church every time the doors are open. Any gathering that has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly where I want to be. Thank God he gave me the peace and joy. He gave me that gift to play and to sing his precious songs, all the holy hymns, the old times that God gave, the Fanny Crosby, the other ones, the David Hoffman, whoever it may be. God bless him with the songs. He's blessed me to write a few of my own. He's blessed me more than I can understand. He gave me the gift to sing. I'm nothing, but I give all honor and glory and praise to him, because he's everything to me. He's done it all for me. He's gave me that everything. He's gave me everything that I know. He's gave me the blessing of life, the blessing to breathe, the food on my table, the clothes on my back, the shoes on my feet, the house over my head, somewhere to live, somewhere to go home to, the blessing and the ability to work with my hands and to be able to think. My heart pumps blood, my lungs be able to give me my breath to breathe, my feet work, my arms work, my toes, everything works in my body, and I'm just overwhelmed by his blessings. I'm just thankful for all that he's done for me. I pray to God that you get saved today. Don't let the devil take the seed out of your heart, because that's exactly what he's going to try to do when this message is over. He's already trying to do it as we speak, as I try to preach God's word. Just rebuke the devil in your mind. Say, "No, Satan, I'm going to listen to this word of God. I'm going to get saved today." Just get determined. Be determined enough, just like I was. God will bless you more than you can understand. You can help your kids. You can help your dad, your mother, your family, your grandparents, your friends, your co-workers, whoever it may be on your heart. God can help you and use you in a mighty way to speak to their hearts, and they can have this free gift of eternal life just like you got. All you got to do is call out to God with all of your heart. It's very simple. It's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I would just be determined. Don't have a pitiful prayer. It's not a prayer after a preacher. It's not being baptized in the water. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not giving your alms to the church, helping the homeless. Oh, that's okay. But see, you must be born again. You must have that broken heart and contrite spirit. Call out on God with everything you got. Don't let another day go by without being saved. It'd be the best thing that could ever happen to you. I see my time's about gone. I love each and every one of you. May God bless you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.